the children are going out, perhaps you could turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. Please read with me from God's Word, Matthew chapter 28. We'll be reading verses 1 through 15. Now, after the Sabbath, toward dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came at night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us now pray as we ask God to bless the preaching of his word. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we come, our Father, having sung the praises of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It is why we're here this morning. Lord, we thank you for our sister Edna and for her step of faith and obedience in the waters of baptism, such a precious picture of what it means to follow Christ, to die to sin, to live a new life in him. And our Father, as we look into this passage this morning and we think once again about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, would you be our teacher? Would you help us, our Father, to listen with ready ears and a humble heart? Lord, we want to hear from you this morning. Please, speak to our hearts. Give us understanding. And Lord, may it be that we may go from this place having heard your word, having worshipped you, changed people. So, Father, we look to you for your blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this morning, I want to ask the question, and I know that Pastor Jerry's already touched on it, but the question that's in my mind as I'm thinking about the message I'm going to bring to you this morning is, what's special? What's so special about this day above all others? Christians have been celebrating for almost 2,000 years this day. In fact, we celebrate it every Sunday. Every Sunday that we come to church, we do so because it's the day that our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And obviously, we have a special day every year. We call it Easter, when we gather together and we pay special attention to the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, that's the reason why we're here this morning. But the other question is, why are you here? Why are you here this morning? There's many reasons why people come out on Easter Sunday. Perhaps for some people, this will be the first day of the year that they've attended church. Perhaps it's your tradition. It's just something that you've always done. You come to church at Easter time. I'd imagine that some of you are here because you've been guilted into it. You know, your parents or your grandparents always went to church on Easter, and there's just you just can't think about not going to church on Easter. You'd feel guilty if you didn't come. And unfortunately, some of you are here because you've been made to come. You don't really want to be here, but somebody's twisted your arm, and you're here. And you're just thinking, man, I hope I can get through the next 30 minutes and get out of here. But the reality is, and then, of course, some of us are here because we have love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thrilled about what he's done for us. Well, whatever your reason for coming this morning, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're here. Now, you know, whether you've come here because you feel guilty or because you've been forced to be here or because of tradition, whatever your reason for being here this morning, I want to tell you something that's probably the most important thing that you can hear today. And that is, you may feel like you did not have a choice in coming here today. But I want to tell you that you have a choice as to how you leave. Perhaps if you felt free, you would have been elsewhere. But, my friends, you do have a choice. You can choose how you will leave. And that choice could affect your eternal destiny. In our text this morning, we've read in Matthew about two kinds of people who were present when the Lord Jesus Christ, or just before, just after the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And their responses to Jesus were very different, and the reasons they were there were very different. Both of them left the empty tomb with very different attitudes. Matthew identifies them as the Roman guards and the women. Neither the guards nor the women were there because they wanted to be there. The Romans were there because perhaps they had been voluntold. Or perhaps they had drawn the short straw. Regardless of how they got there, none of them wanted to stay up all night in the cold guarding some Jewish dead guy who thought he was a king. On the other hand, the women were there as well. And they were there because they loved Jesus, and they were deeply grieved at what had happened to him, and they wanted to do their utmost to make sure that he had a proper burial. The guards and the women were there, but they were there for very different reasons. Both were confronted with the reality of Jesus' resurrection, but only one group left with great joy, changed people. Well, let's look at our passage this morning. If you'll notice with me, verses 4 and 5, we're just going to read that really quickly. And it says there, "For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified.'" So both the guards and the women experienced this great earthquake and the descending angel of the Lord. Now, let's look at them more closely. Let's look first of all at the guards. And if you go back to Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 66, we read some interesting things about what happened. And in those verses, we read that the chief priests and the Pharisees remembered that Jesus said that he would rise from the dead after 3 days. It's actually quite interesting that the chief priests, his enemies, remembered this, but his own disciples, I mean, just, you know, didn't get it. And because of this, because Jesus had said this, they didn't think that Jesus was anything more than an imposter. So they weren't expecting that Jesus would actually physically rise. So they went to Pilate, and they asked that a guard be placed over the tomb and be secured so that nobody could steal the body away. Now, who were these guards? Well, they were Romans, and they were the dominant nation at the time. They ruled the Middle East, all the way from Spain, all across lower Europe, down through the Middle East, and all across North Africa. They were the conquerors, and they were hated by the Jews. The Jews saw themselves as God's chosen people. They believed that they should be the head and not the tail, and really felt that because these Romans had come in and were occupying their country, that somehow something was very wrong, very amiss, and they hated these Romans. There were other reasons. The Romans taxed them very heavily, and oftentimes the tax collectors were dishonest and just really pillaged the people, and so they hated that aspect of it. And then also there was the temple, their precious temple where they worshiped the Lord. And over the centuries, that temple had been desecrated a number of times, and there was a great fear. The Romans worshiped the emperor. And there was a great fear on the part of the Jews that somehow the Romans would come in and desecrate the temple. And we know that that eventually happened in 70 AD. So they were hated, but they were the ones who were in control. Now, if you look at verses 2 through 4, it says there, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." So these Roman soldiers, they have drawn the short end of the stick. They've had to guard the Lord Jesus Christ all through the night. And it says here, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it." Now, we know that this happened, if you go back to verse 1, this happened toward the dawn on the first day of the week. So this is before sunrise. And then it describes the angel in verse 3. It says, "His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow." And if you've ever been outside on a bright, sunny day after it has snowed, and you look at that snow, and it just dazzles your eyes, that's the picture that's been given of these angels. And it says, "For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." Now, it was not the great earthquake that so frightened these soldiers. We know that earthquakes are scary things. And a great earthquake is a very scary thing. But it was the sight of this descending angel that struck them with fear. And we see that right in our passage. It says that it was, "And for fear of him," not because of the earthquake, but "for fear of him, the guards trembled." Remember, now remember also who we're talking about here. We're talking about Roman soldiers. These soldiers were calloused and hardened. They'd seen the worst of dying, killing, police work, keeping the peace, doing all those things. And here these hardened soldiers are. This angel comes down, and they're shaking. They're trembling in their boots because of this sight of this angel. So that's where I want to leave that. We're going to come back to the guards, but that's our first group of people who are confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just again, I missed one thing here. It says in our passage that their fear was so great that they shook themselves unconscious. That's amazing. That's an amazing statement. That's what it means when it says they trembled and became like dead men. They were shaking so hard that they went unconscious, and they fell down to the ground like dead men. They were totally traumatized by what they had seen and experienced. The great earthquake, I'm sure, struck fear in their heart, but the appearance of this angel was just more than they could bear. Now, secondly, the second group of people that we have at the tomb is the women. These women. Now, who are these women? Who were women in Jewish society at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, women, unfortunately, held a very low position in society. Male and female children, from the time that they were able, worked to help support their families. Any wages that they earned were given to the father to support the family. When a girl reached the age of about 12 or 13, she was considered to be of marrying age. Her parents would then choose a husband for her, and when she married, she would then go and live with her husband and his family, and there she would work for that family. And any wages that she earned there belonged to her husband and that family. Now, one of the things that it was very common at that time as well was what's called the dowry. And when a girl got married, her family would give to the family of the husband many gifts. And these basically were money and resources to help them get established in their new home. Now, that also did not belong to her. It was hers, but it belonged to her husband. Now, this is really important because if a man decided to divorce his wife, she lost everything, including her children. A woman, and for this reason, a woman rarely divorced, because if she did, she would have been left destitute. And, sadly, this practice is still alive and well in India today, where I've gone on a number of trips. And it's very interesting. The same thing happens there as happens here. Divorced women often ended up in slavery and prostitution because they were left destitute. So this gives you a picture of who these women are and how they are considered in their society. Very vulnerable, easily taken advantage of. And very interestingly enough, as we look at our passage, it is these lowly ones that are chosen first to see and understand the resurrection. That's awesome. That is such an awesome thing. Now, on Friday, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday. In Luke chapter 23, verse 55, it says that the women followed to and saw where Jesus lay. So we know that Jesus, around 9 o'clock in the morning, Jesus Christ was crucified. At about noon, there was a phenomenon, a miracle, where the sky went dark, couldn't see anything for 3 hours, and then at 3 o'clock, Jesus gives up his spirit and he dies. And then we have this three-hour period between 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock in the evening. Very important period, because at 6 o'clock the Sabbath begins and no work can be done. So that three-hour period is the window in which Jesus has to be taken down from the cross and put in the tomb. So we know that Joseph of Arimathea did that, along with Nicodemus. And the women, it says in Luke chapter 23, verse 55, they followed and saw where Jesus was laid. And then, in Mark 15:41, it says that there were also many other women who were present when Jesus died. And they had come up with him into Jerusalem. And then in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 55, it says that many of these women looked, they watched the crucifixion from a distance. You know, as I think about that, I think, okay, now these are the lowest, these are low-class citizens in the eyes of society. Where are the disciples? Nowhere to be found. Only John is there at the cross. And then, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 61, it says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. So you've got this picture here of the Marys. They've seen the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. They've seen Joseph take the body and put it in the tomb. They followed him, and they're sitting there waiting. Now, obviously, there's a bit of an interval here, because Joseph had to go to Pilate, ask for the body, then come back, take the body down from the cross, wrap it up, and put it into the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary didn't go with Joseph, but they waited where the body was. And they never left Jesus' body. And this tells us another very interesting fact about who these women are. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way that they want to take their eyes off him before he's buried. Now, on Sunday, it tells us at the beginning of our passage that it was toward the dawn. And that really gives us a clue that sunrise hasn't happened yet. So they've left while it is still dark, and they're on their way to the tomb. Now, Jesus could not have risen until sunrise. Okay, because remember that the scriptures prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And many people have puzzled over this, but because if you do the math and say, okay, if he died on Friday night, Saturday night, that's only two nights. And then if you think of the days, you know, he died on Friday afternoon, and then you've got Saturday, and then he gets raised Sunday morning. That doesn't really add up either. But in the Jewish mind, a day and an evening and a day were all the same thing to them. So in their minds, the fact that Jesus was buried on Friday included Thursday evening in their minds. So you've got Thursday evening in their mind, Friday evening, Saturday evening. That's where you've got your three nights. And then your days, of course, you've got Friday during the day, Saturday during the day, and Sunday during the day. So that's where that prophecy actually comes true. Jesus' 3 days. And this is why it's important in this passage that we recognize the fact that it says toward the dawn. Jesus hasn't risen yet. He has to wait until that third day in order to fulfill prophecy. And then we're told that there was a great earthquake. Now, perhaps, I'm thinking that perhaps the earthquake was the indicator or the indicator that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Because if you go back to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, we find another earthquake. And that happened when Jesus Christ yielded up his spirit. And it tells us in that verse that he yielded up his spirit. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. This veil was very wide, 30 feet wide, 60 feet tall. It's huge, very thick. This wasn't something that any man could take and tear with his hands. And you can think about something that's hanging. I mean, normally if something's going to hang, it's going to do this, right? Because it's so heavy. And so where is it going to tear? It's going to tear at the bottom, right? That's where it would normally tear. The fact that it was torn from top to bottom is very significant. The picture that's being given there is of God taking that veil and tearing it himself and opening up the way into the Holy of Holies. Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have entrance into the very presence of God. It's an awesome picture. But we have this first earthquake when Jesus Christ yields up his spirit. And the picture that I have in my mind is that obviously the Holy Spirit's a powerful force. He leaves the body of Jesus and amazing things happen. It tells us that rocks split and people actually were raised from the dead when Jesus' spirit left him. Now, in our passage in Matthew chapter 28, we have another earthquake. It's a great earthquake. And I believe this indicates or heralds the Holy Spirit returning to the body of Jesus. And he's raised up from the dead. Now, it's very interesting that the Roman soldiers, when they experience this phenomenon, they're shaking so much, they shake themselves unconscious, they fall down like dead people. Well, the women are also there. They're witnessing the same thing. But very interestingly, you see what the angels say. It says, "For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." But, very, very important word, because by using that word, a distinction is being made between the women and the Roman soldiers. But the angel said to the women, didn't say it to the Roman soldiers, said it to the women, "Do not be afraid." And why? He gives us the answer in the next word. He says, "For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." So that "for" expresses the reason why these women were so special. Though they were the least, though they were conquered Jews, though they were lowly women, they were willing to do whatever it took to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, even more willing than the very disciples themselves. And not only were they confronted by the angel and comforted by the angel, but they were given the privilege of being the first ones to see the resurrected Lord in verse 9. And you know, we learn something very, very important from this. We learn from this that God delights to reveal himself in weakness. He does not despise the lowly and the humble, but he resists the proud. No one who seeks Jesus needs to be afraid. What a powerful message that we have right at the cross, right at the resurrection. We know that many are afraid of Jesus for many reasons. Some people are afraid of Jesus because they're afraid of being judged. Some people are afraid of Jesus because they're worried about what they're going to have to give up if they commit themselves to him. There's many reasons why people are afraid. But the message of our passage is if you love Jesus, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. And as if to reaffirm that fact, the angel says to the women, he says, come and see the place where he lay. So not only is their fear put away, but they are given more information to encourage them. And then the angel says to them, go quickly, tell the disciples. And they are given the awesome responsibility, the great privilege of being the first witnesses to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something, by the way, that women were forbidden to do in normal Jewish society. A woman could not give testimony in a court of law. And yet, what's Jesus doing here? He's giving this awesome responsibility to these women, the lowest of the low, and says to them, you are my witnesses. Awesome, awesome statement. And then what happens? As the women go, they love the Lord Jesus Christ, they're full of joy, and they're going to go and obey what their Lord has commanded him, and what the angel has commanded them, and what does it say? It says, Jesus greeted them. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus greeted these poor, lowly women who loved the Lord Jesus, who were willing to sacrifice for him, willing to obey him. Well, as we come to think again a little bit more closely about, you know, these people and the reactions to the resurrection, I just want to ask the question, so what? So what? What does this mean? As we are sitting here this morning and we have gathered here to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, I want us to ask the question, who am I? The title of my message is, what are you looking for? Who are you and what are you looking for? Because the reality is, that's the big question that we all face, don't we? Who am I? Why am I here? And then what are you looking for? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, creation's response to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not overt, and I haven't touched on it very, very much this morning, but it's definitely there in our passage. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 2, it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." And as the angel of the Lord descended, there was this huge earthquake. And creation shook with awe and wonder at the power of God as the Holy Spirit raised the Lord Jesus Christ up from the dead. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, we've touched on this as well. This was the first earthquake that happened. It tells us that the rocks split and the veil was torn in two in the temple. People were raised from the dead. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, this is a marvelous passage that tells us of the greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, all things were created through him and for him. And you know, as I think about these earthquakes and the death and the resurrection of our Lord, you know, it's as if the created order itself was shaking with awe and wonder as its creator died. The one who held everything together had died, and as he died, the earth shook. So great was the power within Jesus that when he died and the Spirit left his body, the spirits of saints were raised from the dead and went about testifying in the city of Jerusalem. And then again, when Jesus rose from the dead, there's another earthquake. And again, creation testifying to the glorious wonder and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's creation's witness. What about the guards? Well, we've already touched on the fact that they had the unwelcome task of guarding Jesus' dead body. Imagine a task like this. You want me to do what? I mean, I can see guarding a live person. You want me to guard me a dead person? Like, where's he going to go? They were calloused. They were hardened soldiers. Remember the guards when Jesus was being beaten and tortured. They delighted in torturing Jesus. You know, the reality is when Jesus went to the cross, he was unrecognizable. He had been beaten so badly. Most of the flesh was gone from his back. His face had been beaten so badly you wouldn't have recognized him. He had blood all over his body. The soldiers did this, and they were laughing. They thought this was great sport and having fun. And these same Romans, when they face the reality of the resurrection, shake themselves unconscious. You See, they too were confronted with Jesus' resurrection. They knew about the first earthquake. That was common knowledge. They were so afraid when the second earthquake came and the angel came down. We've noted that they were unconscious. They were so afraid. They fell down like dead men. And then when they came to, the passage tells us they ran away. Some of them went to the chief priests and told them what happened, and the chief priests gave them some money in order to tell a lie. So these guards, though confronted with the power of Jesus' resurrection, they don't want anything to do with us. They run away. It had no lasting effect on them. They were more concerned about things than they were about God. They loved darkness rather than light. Well, our third group of people is the women, lowly, despised, oppressed, invisible. They are the ones who stayed with Jesus at the cross. They are the ones who followed his body to the tomb. They are the ones who were first to the tomb early Sunday morning. They are the ones who were given words of comfort. They were the first to see the resurrected Christ. They were given the privilege of being Christ's first eyewitness disciples. Why? Why were these poor, lowly women so exalted? Listen to the words of the angel. For I know that you seek Jesus. Not only were they comforted, but they were filled with great joy. And people, this is the blessing for all who seek Jesus. This is why we're here this morning. Not only were they comforted, but they were filled with great joy. And Jesus himself appeared to them and greeted them and comforted them and commissioned them. And so we end this passage as we began. Who are you? And what are you seeking? You know, his call today, if you're sitting here, you know, you've never made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. His call is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You know what the awesome thing is about being here today and hearing that message and that call? Is that if you listen and you obey that call, you are going to experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And that's awesome. That's awesome. It's the best thing that you could ever experience in this life. So I encourage you, come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like the Romans. Don't be calloused and hard. Don't love the world more than you love what is spiritual and what is going to last forever. Come to Christ. Believe on him. Look at these poor women. Who is it that the Lord Jesus Christ delights to honor, the first ones that he delights to honor at his resurrection? Poor, lowly women. I'll tell you, that's an encouragement to me, because, you know, when I look at myself, I'm not much. I'm nothing. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm everything. Let's bow together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we think about this message this morning, this powerful truth from your word, Lord, I pray for those who are here with us today who do not know you as their Savior and Lord. Father, the greatest blessing that they could receive is to know the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater, Father, than anything else that they could long for and desire in this earth. Oh, our Father, come down by your Spirit. Open their hearts and minds to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them grace, O Lord, to be like the women, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, coming to him, knowing that he loves the humble, he exalts the humble, he desires to draw near to them. Lord, help us not to leave this place like the Romans, untouched, uncaring, loving this world. Father, have mercy upon us, we pray. And as we conclude, our Lord, we thank you. We thank you, our Father, for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that he died upon the cross, and that in dying upon the cross, he bore all of our sins, past, present, and future. And we can stand here today. We can sit. We can praise. We can sing. because we have the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Praise be to you, our God, in Jesus' name.